All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast is uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. As always, the Periscope is streaming right now live on the Twitter and the Facebook accounts. Let's see, what else? You can check out our website, fanrunradio.com, as a great way to find a lot of good Tennessee stuff. Also, pop culture, as well as professional sports, college sports, just a bunch of good stuff over there. And you can download the Fan Run Radio app that is free, F-R-E-E, from the App Store. But, of course, you already knew all of that. All right, guys, hour number one is in the books. Taking a look back to what we looked at there. We took a look at the SEC meetings from yesterday, what the decision was, which was essentially no decision. We took a look at Greg Sankey's comments about what's going to happen in the SEC, kind of in the next 14 days, what we can expect. We also took a look at the Georgia quarterback battle coming up here in the offseason as JT Daniels gets his waiver from the NCAA. What does that mean for Tennessee? How should Tennessee fans feel? So in case you missed any of that, go back and check out hour number one of the podcast. All right, like I mentioned earlier, here coming up in hour number two, though, we're taking a look at inside the NBA bubble and looking ahead to some NFL news and just a couple of stories going around that, hey, I thought would be fun to bring to the table. But until then, until all of that, finally, we are done with the first round of the greatest TV show ever tournament. We made it through. That was going to be the longest part. And it was a stretch. There were so many to vote on. Felt like there were a million shows. That's because there were 64. There were so many. But we're now in second round. And, gentlemen, bracket's looking good. I got to admit. Now, there's certainly some big upsets on the table. And we'll kind of look back to what all the voting looked like yesterday. But I am thrilled because we are finally in round two. So now, I think we're going to start seeing a lot closer voting any given way. I mean, for instance, just some of the matchups we're looking at today. I mean, you got some powerhouses. The Simpsons versus X-Men, the animated series. Two classics from the day. You have Friday Night Lights versus Breaking Bad as just a matchup. So all of those voting, or all of that voting is live. But before we look at that, let's take a look back to some of the votes from yesterday's voting. Just real quick, because to be honest, I'd rather look ahead. I think that's a little bit more fun. But let's see. Wheel of Fortune advances over Fear Factor. Family Feud advances over Letterman very easily. Survivor over Judge Judy fairly easily. Jeopardy destroyed Big Brother. None of these really were that close. The Price is Right almost tripled Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Then you get to the big upset. Number 14, Deal or No Deal over The Bachelor. We discussed that one already. That stunk. So The Bachelor's out as a 3 seed. America's Got Talent also out as a 7 seed. People must love Shark Tank because people seriously voted for it. So we'll see how that does. And then let's see. Do we have an official winner yet?
Yeah.
We do. On American Idol vs. The Voice? Who is it?
American Idol.
By what? 51?
50.3 to 49.7.
Wow. So
travesty.
Travesty. And it looks like American Idol just dribbled the ball out there last minute.
Honestly.
No votes there within the past few minutes. I thought we might see some late action. But American Idol holding steady.
Well, look at that.
I guess the original sometimes always wins, huh?
Yeah, they're more of the breakthrough. I think, like we talked about, The Voice was like the next-gen American Idol. So, yeah, it was interesting to see how it was going to play out, but American Idol, the OG, coming through.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I mean, I guess I'm not, I'm more shocked in how close it was overall. I thought that at the end of the day that one of them, probably leaning more towards American Idol, would have run away with it a little bit more, but doesn't seem like that was the case. I'm going to tweet out the final updated bracket as of things stand right now.
Any surprises from yesterday? I guess the deal or no deal.
Deal or no deal.
Yeah, that's big golf.
I was a little surprised that Family Feud was such an overwhelming victory over Letterman.
Not really. Letterman, only good thing I remember about Letterman, I mean, obviously he did a great job. He was in the business for, over 30 years or something like that. Only thing I really ever liked about Letterman, outside when he had pretty good guests, was his top 10 list. His top 10 list is what, made his late night show.
I kind of thought that people would be voting for the late night show first. One of the tricky things that we were talking about with the bracket was which late night show to put, right? Because I think, although maybe you get more if you go with somebody today because they are so widely accessible with the YouTube clips and everything. But I didn't necessarily consider all the Tonight shows together.
Right.
Like you do for an SNL or something.
Right.
You know, because ultimately they're not. Like, I look at Kimmel and Fallon and who else? Myers and...
Yeah, well, see, I'm old school. I think we got it right, but if not Letterman, for me, Johnny Carson or something.
Here's like, Johnny. Him and Ed McMahon. But, yeah, that is old school. We must be pretty close to age then if you remember Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah, we're close to age.
Okay, yeah. If you remember Johnny Carson, no, Rick doesn't. Rick's very young. Or Brandon would not remember Johnny Carson. But, I mean, we were very small children when Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon, but I always remember, here's Johnny.
A little surprised at Shark Tank.
Yeah, well, not really. Shark Tank is a very only informative show, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, I never got into it, so maybe that's why, you know, I don't have any confirmation bias there, so...
God, it really is so good, isn't it?
No, it's entertaining and informative too. Like as far as like getting a business plan together, if you're trying to see people trial and error, like motivating people to go out and kind of follow their dreams. It's a very informative and entertaining show.
And I will say, like, I think it's for me, it's one of those things where, and I wonder if other people have this, right? Do you guys do this at all? Like, do you guys have something that you're really interested in? Whether that's like a YouTube channel that you watch to keep up with it or just a website that like you don't necessarily get it at all. Like it's way over your head, but you still really enjoy listening to it. Like for me, it's like building computers. Like I hate, like I could never do that. I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
You could. It's pretty easy.
Okay. Well, I actually think I could if I had some help and the right steps, but... You know, I don't know.
It's just like the things we nerd out about. Anime.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I kind of lost my train of thought at the end of that there. But anyways.
Start thinking about building those computers.
Yeah, honestly. Honestly.
Building, like, gaming computers.
I genuinely had lost my train of thought. All right, so I am tweeting out at the end of this voting thread right here the official – I'm going to type this out as I say it. The official round one bracket. So you can go and see all the voting there. Let's take a look at the left side of the screen. Let's move into round two. This is what we've been waiting for. First matchup, Game of Thrones, Sons of Anarchy. Wow. Now, again, is this the point where you ask yourself the question, was the ending of Game of Thrones enough to bring that show down beneath the Sons of Anarchy? To me, I still say no. I still say we're not at that point. I think that Game of Thrones was a better show, although, especially at the beginning of Sons of Anarchy was stupid good. Like long-haired Jax Teller, that was an era, man.
See, I saw
that was an era.
I saw it in bits and pieces. But around the time Sons of Anarchy was hot, also Justified was.
And Justified was.
I feel like they're on the same plane.
Dexter was around that time. On Showtime.
And I chose to be a Justified guy. And I kind of feel like Sons of Anarchy is on the same plane. I saw bits and pieces. And I never saw Game of Thrones, but I've heard and read about it to no end. And I know what you all are talking about by the falter at the end. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I want to see what the people vote for on this. I feel like GOT probably pulls it out.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is going to pull this out.
Sure.
Sons was good. I thought that after season, I think, like I always say, season 4 after Opie died, that spoiler alert, that's when it got
It's been a while.
Yeah, it kind of went off the deep end. The conflict between him and his mom, it's like, yeah, I understood it, but like he could have killed her so many times, and his mom wound up killing his wife, and it just didn't make any sense. That yeah. Like the mom killed the sheriff. Like it was all.
It got a little convoluted.
It got a little stupid at the end.
Yeah,
but
man.
Game of Thrones will take that easy.
Even
with their horrible ending,
it's okay. looking like okay. it too. About 7-3.
Are they
because
rushing?
Because everything else prior to the horrible last season of Game of Thrones was you couldn't step away. And okay. in the last season, they just took
couldn't it. Put it in the end zone, huh?
They just couldn't finish it properly.
Yeah.
They had so many different ways they could have, and the way that they went was just totally weird.
Chance.
I got another.
What's going on, Rick?
Got upset.
What's going on at the polls?
You ever been to Hawkins, Indiana?
Some people will
Is
say,
that Stranger Things?
I think that's Oak Ridge, right? It's really Oak Ridge.
Remember that one time where we uncovered everything?
It's really Oak Ridge.
We took a 15-minute deep dive, and we uncovered everything that was going on.
Oak Ridge, they're working on finding the upside down.
I hope The Wire absolutely destroys Stranger Things. No disrespect, but I'm hurt.
I like Stranger Things, but The Wire should win.
Guys, The Wire is headed into the upside down.
Oh, man.
Really?
The Wire, a.k.a. Barb. Yeah. If that's not all you need to know, I don't know what is. The Wire, a.k.a. Barb.
Man.
Or who was Sean Astin's character in season 2? What was his name? Bart? Bob? Bob.
It's Bob.
Oh, my God. Barb and Bob? Are you kidding me? Who thought of those? Bob and Barb. Well, that is the route of The Wire, I hate to say.
See, I thought Breaking Bad and The Wire were on a crash course. Maybe not. I don't know.
All right. Do people just really like Stranger Things, or is it just getting these matchups in a row that people, it's an easy vote? Like, they just, because in this one, I got to figure that people just haven't seen The Wire. Like myself, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's
recency bias.
If I was casually voting in this poll, right, my votes right now are, I'm very strategic with my votes, right? It's very much about trying to get to the greatest TV show ever. But if I was just a casual fan and I was just surfing through Twitter and maybe didn't even know the station, I just saw the poll, I'd vote Stranger Things in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even think twice about it because, look, I've never seen The Wire, but I've seen Stranger Things. It's so recent, like Chance said.
Yeah, The Wire is actually pretty old by now. So that's probably plays a huge factor.
Hey, you know who I love, who I didn't know was in The Wire? Lance Riddick. Do you know who he is?
Show me a picture. I know character names.
He has the most distinct voice. Maybe one of my absolute favorite voices in all of film and TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lance Riddick.
Oh, yeah, no. He plays the captain. He's on the police
is
force.
Is he good?
He's very good.
I love him.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Yes. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. He plays the voice of in a video game that I play a lot. So I hear him all the time, and then I watch a couple of the shows. But I saw that he was on The Wire recently, and I was like, I wonder if he's a big character. I'll have to ask Chance. He was in John Wick and
the
Fallen movies.
He was the one that helped come up with Hamsterdam in The Wire. You got to watch The Wire. Hamsterdam. It was like
funny.
An area. You got to watch it. I won't spoil it for you because I love The Wire so much, even though it's been years.
Yeah.
But it's Wire's great. I've watched it at least 3 times. Try to watch it at least once every couple months. Oof. Go back and watch it.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Although it's losing about
65%. Losing right to Stranger Things, though.
Losing to 11.
That is bad.
Oh, L. Moving on to the animated, The Simpsons looks like it's... Wow. All right, I got to admit, it looks like I overestimated
The Simpsons?
How big of people liked their cartoons as a kid. Simpsons. This looks like it's going to be the biggest margin of defeat yet.
Oh, The Simpsons, yeah. Okay.
I didn't think that a lot of people would vote X-Men, but, you know, it's...
Well, X-Men's very good,
It's the best of the cartoons, I think.
But when you say Simpsons, like, it's hard for X-Men, the animated series, to ever.
I guess it's
going to
be hard for
to.
Anybody to beat Simpsons.
I mean, the longevity. Simpsons could win it all.
I think people vote so much respect for the Simpsons. Like, in just one round of voting, that's what I've already figured out.
The Simpsons could actually win the entire
damn yeah. I genuinely think
longest
so,
standing TV
it's a
show, right?
Sneaky, sneaky.
How many? Is it going on 30 years?
It's up there. I would like to say it's very close. 28 seasons, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
If not 30.
Let's see. Oh, this is a bummer. It looks like Futurama is taking a early lead on Rick and Morty. Not good. God, I love that show. It's unfortunate.
See, I haven't seen that much Rick and Morty, as I told you guys, but I saw a lot of Futurama, but I still voted Rick and Morty because it was even funnier than what a little Futurama I had seen.
Sure. Let's see. You have the inevitable SpongeBob-South Park matchup, which I think is hilarious just for a lot of different reasons. I mean, could you get two? You don't really find two shows more different than those two right there.
No.
More different, but also in a lot of ways kind of similar.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of just a dumb adventure show where you just get into these ridiculous things. I don't know. In a lot of ways similar, in a lot of ways different. I thought that matchup would be good. South Park winning that one. And then, of course, the freaking powerhouse of the tournament. Who knew? Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
I'm so upset with the Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes are going to break this whole bracket.
They're like Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, they're like Dunk U. Dunk City. What is
Hey, I voted for him.
You voted for who?
Looney Tunes.
There's no way
I mean, not
Looney
only
Tunes.
Is it nostalgic for me, I put one vote in for my son, you know?
No.
I mean, it stood the test of time.
Did you show your son Looney Tunes? Was he a big fan?
Yes, yeah.
Nobody showed me Looney Tunes very much as a kid. I got shown X-Men and
that's
and
sad. Looney Tunes is great.
And Batman. So I don't know. That's what I grew up on. I got to go cast my own votes. Well, that looks like it pretty much wraps that up again. So that is round two, halfway through on the Greatest TV Show Ever tournament. You can go and vote. For the next 24 hours, up until 11 a.m. tomorrow. All the voting is on the Twitter account, at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. Let's see. We have all eight matchups right there, and then at the very end of the thread is the official round one bracket results. So you can go and look at those. Remember, all of these are voted on as you, the fans. So there's no, I mean, we're just talking about it. We're just talking about it up here. This is your bracket. And let me tell you, you've made a couple of bad decisions so far. So fix it. Fix it for round two. Celebrate every day like a birthday. Great things come to those that wait up. But don't wait to jump in too long. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Don't sleep. Run Radio on Fox Sports Knoxville. All right, so back here on the Blitz, hour number two, 11:24. Rick, Logan, and Chance hanging out with you. And guys, I just got this this story from the NFL fly across my computer. And pretty much took me out of what I was doing because I had to read the headline. And I want to share this with you guys because this is nuts, in my opinion. All right, so we know that the Washington to be determines are trying to find their name, right? They are changing their name after having the formerly known as Redskins name for 87 years. But seems like that just got a little bit harder. Now, I know you might be thinking, well, it seemed already hard in the first place. Well, yeah, but it's not as easy as just picking a name now. It seems as though a Virginia man has trademarked dozens of possible new names for the Washington NFL team. So he took them all. Took all the good ones.
I think I heard about this.
Now, this story, though, gets a little wilder. So it says, so this is the guy. His name is Martin McCauley.
Sounds like a
Martin.
He sounds like a punchable face guy.
Martin. Yeah. Whenever I think of a Martin, I just think of Martin Short from Santa Claus 3, looking like Jack Frost, looking all weird with the frosted tips. That's what all Martins look like in my head. But it says here, Macaulay has filed numerous trademark claims in the last 6 years for potential monikers for the Washington football team. So he's been doing this over the last 6 years, knowing that, hey, a name change could come.
It was coming.
A search by CBS News in the United States Patent and Trademark Office database found at least 7 names that have been registered in just the last month alone. Among them include the Red Wolves, the Red Tails, the Monuments, the Americans, and the Veterans. All names that have been circled around, and we've even thrown out multiple of those, like the Red Wolves, the Red Tails, the Monuments. Let's see. Macaulay told CBS News, this is where it gets weird, that he sent an email to the NFL on July 4th listing all the trademarks that they could have at no charge, but they didn't respond. They did not take him seriously, I guess. Or this email just never came across the right desk. So they didn't respond. He sent that email 10 days ago. He claimed he wants to give them to the NFL for free to help facilitate the name change. However, in a series of tweets on Tuesday, Chance got a little greedy.
Changed his tune.
Got a little greedy. He appeared open to the possibility of a monetary exchange. Quote, I think 10 days of offering to give the NFL my trademarks for free is enough. My new answer will be something vague, like, I never expected anything, but I will entertain any offer they want to make. Seems like a smart way to go about your business, sir. Whether Macaulay or anyone else attempting something similar would see any profit depends on intent to use the names, according to one legal expert. Now we're marching into territory that I am unfamiliar with when you move into the legal realm of things. But how about that? How about this guy, Martin? The big brain. Just off filing away these patents for 6 years, hitting all the big ones that he hears come across the news desk, offers them for free. NFL doesn't take it seriously.
But it seems like as that story goes on, because I found it too, David Leitchman, the legal expert, said, like you said, if he would see any profit depends on intent to use the names, according to this legal expert, David Leitchman. So he went on to say, quote,
just take it.
Yeah, so he went on to say, quote, so if they happen to have correctly picked what the Washington football team decides to use their new name, then the question then becomes, at the time that they filed the trademark, what was their true intent for filing the trademark, Leitchman told CBS News. He went on to say, I think it's highly unlikely that the trademark office or a court will say somebody who was filing trademark application office solely for the purpose of speculating really had a bona fide attempt to use the name in commerce. Football teams and NFL properties are known for being really aggressive for enforcing their brands and trademarks, he added. So it would be surprising if they didn't do something about it quickly or if it turns out that one of these names is the one they intend to use.
All right, so they're essentially saying, hey, you can't just sign a patent or sign this trademark and then not do anything.
Hey, but here's where your guy, Macaulay, kind of smart.
Come on, Martin.
Macaulay,
bring it home.
Was aware of this. However, so to boost his claim,
oh, you're kidding.
He designed a website where he sells T-shirts, mugs, wine glasses, and other merchandise featuring, featuring some of the names he trademarked.
It is Washington Americans Football. .com.
Wow.
And it is the most basic website you've ever seen in your whole life.
But that's all he needs. That's all he needs is some merchandise. Merch.
You can let me look at stuff. All right, so here's everything on it. The Arrows, the Federals, the Founders, the Monuments, the Pandas, the Red Tails, the Hawks, the Warriors, and the Veterans. You just have links to all of the other websites that are just very bland. But nonetheless, selling stuff.
This is what you do if you're Washington. You just disband those other ideas because those are all in the mix, right? Like, those have to be in the mix of the names. And just go with, like, the Washington Cakes.
That's what?
The Cakes.
I guess we talked about this yesterday.
The new trend. I have no idea what it means, but it's the new trend.
It's only a urinal cake. I think I'm going to hear cake sometimes.
Gross. Are we, what are we doing? Are we gonna bring him in now? Or are we going to wait?
Make him wait.
Okay. Oh, is it? Okay, I know who this is.
Make him wait.
Hey, wait. Can we bring him on real quick?
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to put you on hold real quick while we go take this break, all right?
I will hang up this phone right now.
Right to this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me.
All right, here we go back here on the Blitz with Rick, Logan, Chance, and Brandon Orrick. Good morning, Brandon. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you all?
Feeling pretty good, man.
Good, good, good.
I got a problem with you, Rick.
Oh.
All right, what is it?
What kind of a cheap move was that you just pulled?
That was very cheap, Brandon. See what happens when you're away?
What do you mean cheap?
It's very petty.
It was low rent and something that I would expect from you, so I don't know why I'm surprised.
Oh.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, well, had to do it to him. Yeah, you're right. I guess, Brandon, when you leave for a couple days, we'll start to get a big head over here.
Somebody's got to keep you in check.
Well, what's going on with you, my friend? Anything? What is the biggest thing going on to you in your life today? It can either be in the sports world, or it can be totally something else.
Well, I heard y'all talking about the Washington name change. Did Logan say the Washington Cakes?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is the worst name I've ever heard.
Yeah,
worst name. It's bad.
Hey, it's trending.
Trending?
Have you not seen how much the cakes are trending on Twitter?
All those people cutting cakes.
What?
I ranted about
this.
What are
the other options? What are the other options again?
Red Tails, the Generals, the Monuments. Is that what you said?
The Monuments were one.
Is the Americans one?
Yeah, the Americans. The Presidents.
Isn't the Generals, isn't that who the Globetrotters
yes,
always played?
Yes. That's what I said the other day.
Generals?
So how much of a joke would that be? That's who the Globetrotters.
And I think they would have to get permission from them to do it, but the biggest hurdle is this guy Martin, who's trademarked all this stuff.
They can't go with the Washington Generals. They'll be the laughing stock. I mean, they already are, but I mean,
they would be the complete laughing stock of the NFL if you go with the Washington Generals, who the Globetrotters have never lost a game to in the history of Globetrotters.
They lost one time.
You're right. They did lose one time. That is correct.
I like the Red Tails.
But one thing I did see, Rick, and I heard y'all talking about it earlier in the first hour, about the JT Daniels transfer.
Oh, right.
And y'all were talking about Cade Mays.
Yes.
Did you all see this? I got this from, I saw this update from CBS like 10, 15 minutes ago on why Cade Mays hasn't got his appeal yet.
No.
No.
Please tell us.
Go ahead and share.
Breaking news, Brandon.
So, let's see. This is from Jimmy Hyams. He tweeted today that Mays waited 6 months to file his appeal after transferring to Tennessee in January. He also wrote that he didn't file his. It was not filed until last week, which is why you haven't had a. Which is why you haven't heard anything. Why can we not get this right? How hard is it to file an appeal? We had the same.
Whose job is that?
Cade Mays.
I don't know.
What are they doing? We had the same problem with
Aubrey Solomon.
That they didn't do the paperwork.
Maybe Urosh.
Is there somebody?
Is
there someone in compliance who is just not doing their job? Like,
I don't know. They are incompetent of doing their job correctly.
I don't get this because. I mean, I'm looking through this article on FanRun, trying to find a date. Here it is.
It's in January.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm trying to see about like how, you know, because you even had the lawyer who I think is now the former lawyer on the case. I believe that he was talking about it at the time, and he was saying that, you know, he believed that, or I feel like he, you know, he believed that Cade was going to be eligible and all that. If you were having those kind of conversations, and if you did have a lawyer on everything, how did it not get done then, or not in some kind of relatively quick time?
To an extent, how much can we, like, kind of put on maybe Cade Mays and his family, too? Like, I understand, like, compliance handles all those things once you transfer, and they handle the paperwork and doing the whatever they have to do with Georgia and getting you cleared through the SEC. But it seems like if I was a player, too, like, me and my family, we're going to be, like, kind of inquiring about this, right? And we wouldn't have waited 6 months to file the paperwork. And I've been here since January, and also, not to forget, this is my hometown.
Right. Also, I'm not, you know, I haven't really left my house much.
And another interesting thing, in Trey Wallace's article, didn't he mention Tom Mars is no longer representing
him? Yeah, Tom Mars is the attorney that Rick was thinking of. That's the one that got Justin Fields the clearance and got a lot of prominent college football athletes the immediate clearance.
Right. Says that happened on May 8th.
And I don't know how much that plays a part with him no longer representing Cade. Maybe that's a normal thing. Once you put in the request and you're at the school, maybe from that point, like Chance said, it's up to the family and compliance. I have no idea. The whole thing's just weird.
Yeah. Here's what, according to the article on FanRun, here's what Tom Mars had said. Quote, and this is a fairly lengthy quote, so hang tight. I noticed a lot of screeching on Twitter about why the NCAA hadn't ruled on Cade's waiver request. People don't seem to understand that if done properly, you don't throw together a waiver request in a few days. What's more, most schools I've been working with were waiting to see whether the legislative council would pass the one-time transfer without penalty in May. As you know, that vote got bumped until January. I can tell you that waiver request hadn't been submitted when I withdrew from the Cade Mays case. Again, that was on May 8th. And Brandon, if what you're saying is true, that went all the way up to last month.
That said, last week is when they submitted it.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, so even this month.
Yeah.
So I guess as we're starting to unravel the story a little bit, it would seem that, you know, hey, it wasn't just a thing of someone being lazy or someone not getting it turned in. It seemed like they were pushing it back because they were hoping to be a part of this the one-time transfer without a penalty ruling. But obviously that was pushed back from May all the way back until next year at the beginning. So it seemed like probably once that kind of went through, they were scrambling and basically said, hey, you know, we've waited all this time. I bet, honestly, like I know I might have overreacted a couple minutes ago because honestly – they were probably overreacting way worse than we are now. Like, that was probably a fairly scary thought of, like, man, we certainly could have done this in January had we have known. Granted, there was no way of us knowing.
Right.
But now we're way behind the eight ball. We got to get this done. Granted, I mean, May to July is still a little bit of a lengthy time, but I guess I don't exactly know how long those waivers take. But I feel like there's probably just a lot of confusion from a lot of different sides, a lot of frustration from a lot of different sides, and seems like a little bit of a mess of a story. But also, I mean, impacted by COVID just like everything else has been. Because you can directly tie COVID into, you know, that ruling change.
Yeah. No, I think that makes total sense. That could totally be what's going on here.
Brandon, anything else that you've seen today? Or
Brandon, what do you think about the SEC? I think yesterday you might have agreed with us that they were just probably going to reconvene, but nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they really have – I mean, they still have a little bit of time before they have to announce something. But I heard y'all mention something about – Chance, you were talking about it, I think, yesterday with the Florida-Florida State rivalry and all those – a lot of those games at the end of the year between SEC and ACC teams.
Yeah.
To me, maybe they're trying to work something out with the ACC, because to me it makes no sense why you couldn't play those games.
Sure.
It makes no sense why you couldn't play Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brandon.
If, if you're going to allow Florida to play LSU,
correct?
Right, or
what's
Auburn
the difference?
To play Texas A&M,
and those teams are traveling across states. Why? What's the difference in allowing teams to play in your own state?
Miami and Pittsburgh.
I don't see what the big deal is about that. So maybe they're trying to work something out there.
Yeah, I'm with you,
Brandon. I do think those games are important. I do think those games mean a lot to the people in those states and those fans.
Yeah, logistically, I don't know how it works when you're trying to come up with a schedule when everybody else is conference only, but like say the ACC and SEC make an exception like you're talking about, because I know that the SEC had two matchups with the Pac-12. I know one was what, Alabama and USC. I don't know what the other one was, but there's two holes to fill right there. Maybe you feel that some other way. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how it works, but I was working under the same idea, thinking that, you know, you might as well try to figure out something with them, because a lot of these rivalries are in state. I mean, think about the ACC. Just within the conference, you have a team deep south as Miami, and then you have Pittsburgh way up there. So – you know, I think there might be, you might be onto something. There might be a better way of geographically and logistically doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to decide or when they're going to decide it, but I'm perfectly okay with them waiting. I don't think there's too big of a rush.
Now, something I don't know if you heard when we were talking about earlier. I think we've talked about it a few before. I think that if you do have all the conferences, just go ahead and do conference-only football. Makes it a lot easier to go ahead and do that Power 5 playoff. And if you're the NCAA, are you really going to scrap a college football playoff? Are you just really going to do without one this year? You're just going to have a bunch of conference champions? Because there's no real decision on who's the overall winner when you do it like that, even though SEC might claim an overall victory. But wouldn't it be easier to go ahead? All right, because like you said, if you're traveling to play teams in your conference – then you can essentially travel to play other teams outside of your conference and even teams in a college football playoff if it was set up for a Power 5, and then the best Power 5 team gets an automatic bye that first round, and then that kind of pushes you into a new playoff format that people have been begging for years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I've kind of been assuming that there would probably just be no bowl games this year, and at that point, I don't know. Is there a playoff? I mean, I've kind of just been assuming that there is, but I mean, I don't think you can take that for granted, that there's just going to be one.
Yeah, I don't think that they can just really do without one either at the same time.
I agree. I mean, that's,
oh, okay, yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
If there's no
playoff, but I mean, I think it's kind of one of those things that's just kind of still up in the air.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Like I said, but for the meantime, I guess just we're all waiting and seeing. I mean, ACC, maybe they'll come out next before the SEC and make a decision. Well, the SEC is going to make their decision last regardless.
Guys, I just stumbled upon something.
Oh, did you? Seems like you're having technical difficulties over. I don't know if you could hear or not.
Well, I actually don't know if I can. I kind of just wait and see you whenever Brandon starts talking. But I found something, and I think it needs to – wow, I don't know what my reaction is to it. Have you guys seen this Mason Ramsey Burger King thing? Mason Ramsey.
What?
Big-time player on our show.
Mason Ramsey Burger King?
There is a two-minute Burger King commercial where Mason Ramsey is singing a full song that's dedicated to, like, carbon emissions and, like, greenhouse gases and stuff.
Mason Ramsey.
He's singing about cow farts.
Yeah, singing about the emissions.
This is no lie.
Explains dangers of cow
farts. Like, I'm not kidding. This is a full two-minute song.
Top tweet when you look for it. All right, who had Mason Ramsey singing about cow flagellants in the Burger King ad on their 2020 bingo card? Who had it? Zia Brandon?
I slept on that one.
Dang it, I missed that one.
I did not. Last thing, Chance, not to steal your thunder. for the next segment.
Oh, he's going to do it.
If you haven't heard, it's National Nude Day.
It is. Go ahead, Brandon.
How are we all celebrating?
National Nude Day. I'm celebrating. I don't know about you all, but I'm celebrating.
Are you celebrating
Boy,
currently?
Boy, you better be celebrating behind them closed doors.
Well, on that note, good talk to you, Brandon.
Volunteer Vodka is a homegrown award.
This is it.
It's the banger.
That's it.
Young Mason.
That's it.
Young King.
Is he selling out?
He's getting the bag, that's for sure. I don't know if he's selling out. He's definitely getting the bag.
I wish I had the bag.
No doubt. No doubt. I had to come back with a little bit, turn it off quick before Burger King tries to sue us.
Yeah. That's a good idea. All right. We got about 5 minutes left in the show.
Get that bag, Mason.
What do you guys say we do and wrap it up like we always do? A little bit of If You Haven't Heard. Who would like to start us out?
We'll let Logan go first.
Yeah, I'll start out. If you haven't heard, now this news started to break yesterday, so maybe you have. But if you haven't heard, Houston Rockets, Russell Westbrook came out on Twitter and announced he had coronavirus. The Houston Rockets were, I think they've practiced twice now in the bubble. Is that right, Chance?
Yes.
Do you know? Okay. So, but the interesting thing is, Harden and Luke Mba, is that his name?
Mba Amute.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the article I'm reading had the Mute dropped.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works. Anyways, those guys, the status is unknown with those guys. Do they have corona? Do they not? Well, they were held out of practice. So. We know Westbrook and Harden are buddies. Maybe they were together at some point. So this story will be interesting to follow as it develops.
And there's a little speculation. I mean, what we talked about, too, is the fact that they didn't fly. Harden and Westbrook flew separately from team on the way to the bubble.
Oh.
So that was – people were already speculating to begin with why they flew separate, that maybe they had it. But then you find out that Russell Westbrook indeed. But there was an update recently that I just saw on Twitter, said that James Harden has been practicing. He feels perfectly fine.
With others?
Let me make sure that it did say with others. I think it did. I've lost it now.
Hey, what about this? Okay, so the Braves had several people test positive last week. Four people, handful of people. The two, like most people, were asymptomatic. Has any team, like, proposed the idea of, like, say, having two guys that both test positive that are asymptomatic working out together? Is that a thing? Like,
probably not from the – I mean, I guess they could be. I don't know. All this stuff is all messed up. Stuff from Stadium, from Shams Charania.
Question.
Rocket star James Harden is feeling fine, working out, and may travel for Russell Westbrook to Orlando when Westbrook clears from coronavirus. Then also underneath that tweet, which is getting a lot of traction now, I don't know how legit this is, so take it with a grain of salt, from Kamina Blue on Twitter. Doesn't say that she's not like any type of news outlet. But James Harden was having pool parties at his house in Arizona. He went to Arizona State. So it makes sense he got COVID. She also tweets out, a girl I knew went there and also got sick too. And it's got about 1,000+ tweets and counting. So we will see how this all plays out. But definitely something to watch, man. Players coming into the bubble.
Wait, I'm sorry. I was totally reading a different story. Are you talking about the tweet? The girl had sent the tweet that said that she had already been invited into a player's hotel?
No, I'm not talking about that. This was a tweet from a girl that said Harden was having having COVID parties in Arizona.
Oh my!
And it made sense why he got sick, and that she knew a friend who went there and also got sick.
So I saw a couple tweets yesterday, and granted, it's so unverified. So I mean, who knows? When you see it on Twitter,
NBA players are going to be sneaking women into those hotels.
But that's what they said. They were like, "Hey, I have already been invited back into, I've already been invited straight into the bubble. There's no, you can get past security if you are, an NBA elite." So that's certainly something to watch out for.
If you haven't heard, going back to the college football, quarterback Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, commits.
Oh, yeah.
Not to his dad's alma mater, Florida State, but to Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Going to play for Willie Taggart. Florida Atlantic added the 2021 quarterback, ESPN 300 quarterback announcement. Came yesterday. Sanders, the son of NFL Hall of Famer Deion Sanders, is the number 8 ranked pocket passer and the number 41 ranked prospect overall in the class. And this is early. Maybe Florida State can get him back, or even a Tennessee, maybe. The 6'2", 200-pound quarterback out of Trinity Christian School in Cedar Hill, Texas, is the first ESPN 300 recruit to choose FAU since ESPN started the rankings in 2009. He went on to say, "I wanted to write my own legacy. And FAU gave me an opportunity to do that. I trust the staff. Willie Taggart was the first coach to offer me an opportunity to play at the next level." He probably offered it to you at Florida State first, though. As a junior last season, Sanders threw for 3,477 yards, 47 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions.
You said Cedar Hill?
Cedar Hill.
Cedar Hill High School?
Cedar Hill, Texas. Trinity Christian School. In Cedar Hill, Texas, is what it says.
Oh, okay, because I was about to say, the quarterback for Cedar Hill High School is none other than Caden Salter.
Oh, nice.
4-star Tennessee commit.
Tennessee, yeah.
So you got that was two great quarterbacks.
That's
right,
some good product.
Going head-to-head in that
Cedar
city.
Hill, Texas,
good
yeah.
Good for Cedar Hill.
Yeah, he threw for 3,088 yards, 42 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions his sophomore season, and had Deion as the offensive coordinator.
There you go. There you go.
Dual threat quarterback.
Well, guys, last but not least, to send you out with some positive news, over in Colorado, a squirrel has tested positive for the bubonic plague. So, hey, add that to the news. Yeah.
The plague?
It's coming straight here from ABC News.
The plague.
The squirrels.
Squirrel test positive for the bubonic plague in Colorado. Symptoms of the plague include sudden high fever.
Four words. I hate it here.
Swim naked, everybody.